Follow along in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 1. Let me just say this. When God said, let there be light, He actually set the seasons in motion right then. I'm going to prove it to you. Genesis 1, verse 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So like I said, when God said, let there be light, He actually set the seasons in motion. Verse 14, go down to verse 14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And here it is. And let them be for signs and seasons. Say seasons. And for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. So God said it all. Now this is a CNN report that I just looked at, and I want to read this to you. This is the world's and the science behind this. This is the scientific explanation of what I just read to you. The scientific explanation. The earth rotates along an imaginary line that runs from North Pole to South Pole. It's called the axis. Why is it that we believe some things that we can't see? And this rotation is what gives us day and night. However, the axis tilts at 23.5 degrees, as NASA explains. That positions one hemisphere of the planet to get more sunlight than the other for half of the year's orbit around the sun. This discrepancy in sunlight is what triggers the seasons. The effect is at its maximum in late June and late December. Those are the solstices, and they have the most extreme differences between day and night, especially near the poles. That's why it stays dark for so long each day during the winter in places such as Scandinavia and Alaska, and even right here in South Carolina. But since the winter solstice 3 months ago in December, you've noticed that our days have been getting longer in the northern hemisphere and the nights shorter. And now here we are at the spring equinox. Going forward, the northern hemisphere will be more exposed to the sun than the southern hemisphere. That's why it gets increasingly hot as we head toward the summer solstice in June. Okay, so that's the world's view. That's the scientific view. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let's hear from the wisest man who ever lived and hear what he had to say about it. This is Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. He said, to everything there is a season. Say season. A time. I got a real amen corner right here. I love it. A time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, and a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So the wisest man on earth at least said this: to everything there's a season, to everything there's a time. That makes sense. Let's go to Job. Job chapter 38. God in this chapter reveals his omnipotence to Job. He reveals it to him in such a way that when Job grasps this, he realizes, I'm nowhere near where he is. I can't contain it. I just said things to God, and now in God saying things back to me, I realize quickly, he's God and I'm not. Has that ever happened to you? You realize that he's God and you're not. How many of you can say that's a good thing? That's a good thing. Okay, stay with me. In chapter 38, verse 4, God says this to Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. What a question. It just sets everything in order really quick. Where were you? Where were you when I told this ocean, here are your boundaries, and you can come this far, but no further? Where were you when I took the stork and I withheld wisdom from the stork so that the stork would treat its young harshly? Yet, when it set its wings, it would rise above the horses in its splendor. Where were you when I did that? What else does he say? Where were you when lightning struck the earth and it came back to me with its report and says, here I am? That's powerful, isn't it? Where were you when I did that? Have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? God is just blowing Job's mind. He's saying, I did all that. I did that. I'm the one that did that. As I was driving to church this morning, I came down 21, and I just crossed the bridge, and I'm trying to concentrate on driving, and I see something happen so quickly behind me, and I look in my side view mirror, and I'm like, what? I saw something dark coming coming really fast. And I looked in the rearview mirror, and by the time it got there, I couldn't see it. Now it's like coming on me, and then all of a sudden I realized that's never happened before. It was just a shadow of a big truck that caught the sun just in time. But I saw it just it felt like impending danger. Here it comes. It was just a shadow. There's a shadow of death that we don't even have to be afraid of. Let me keep going. In Daniel chapter 2, this is what was happening. King Nebuchadnezzar, who was a king of so much of the earth at that time, he had a dream at night, and it troubled him so very deeply that he was asking for an interpretation. Well, let me just say it like this. He wasn't asking for an interpretation. He was actually demanding an interpretation. And he was demanding it so harshly. He wanted to know that this thing troubled me so much, I've got to get the real answer, and I'll know if you know the interpretation, because you don't have to just tell me the interpretation. You got to tell me what the dream was too. Yeah, how powerful is that? And his magicians and wise men and the soothsayers and the astrologers, they came before him and they said, oh king, it's just tell us the dream and we'll tell you the interpretation. And he said, no. He said, you're stalling for time. That's what he told them. You tell me the dream, and then I will believe that you have the interpretation to follow. Because otherwise, if I tell you the dream, you'll just make up a lie to satisfy me. But I've got to know what this dream was. And they asked him to tell the dream. And he said this, if you cannot give me the dream and the interpretation, I will cut you up into pieces, and I will take your homes, and I will turn them into an ash heap. The heat was on. So he sent out his captain of his guard, and when the captain of the guard came to Daniel, Daniel said this. He said, what is the urgency. That's what the word says. That's what the scripture says. Daniel's words were this. What is the urgency? See, when you trust in God, what bothers other people at a great level should not bother you. Should not bother you. So while they asked for the dream, Daniel said, if this thing is this important, can't we just have a little bit of time? And he saved everybody. He said, don't kill them yet. Give me time. I'm going to seek God, and God will give me the answer. And the magicians and everybody else, all the wise men, all of the soothsayers, all of those who were supposed to know said this, no man can know this unless God shows it to him. Sometimes God lets us go through some things to prove himself. See, we think, God, where are you? I thought you just loved me. Don't you just love me? There's things that God does for you because he loves you. There's other things that God does for his namesake. Can you handle being a part of that too? So this is what happened. Daniel went back, prayed to God, got an answer from God, and in chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, he said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And then he said this, and he changes the times and the seasons. Say seasons. It is time for us to not be antsy. It is time for us to trust in God. If we get antsy, we will, even as God's people, start making bad choices. We will make choices based on weather instead of basing them on seasons. Let me say it another way. We will take temporary information and make a permanent decision based on temporary information. Can I tell you how dangerous that is? Now, listen at this. As far as seasons go, the fall season is one of my favorite. It's one of the most beautiful. People go on trips. They take vacations. They'll go up to the mountains. They want to see the hues and the colors of the leaves change as they die. As they die, they take on a different color. And as they fall to the ground, it is actually a beautiful thing. And while that season is so beautiful, the fall season is so beautiful, there is also some weather that takes place in the fall that is some of the most destructive weather that we'll have all year long. The great hurricanes, when do they occur? Most of them occur in the fall. They even call it hurricane season. The season is actually the fall, but the weather includes hurricanes. So my point of that is, have you ever had times in your life when something good was happening? And about the time something good happens, something bad happens. You can't just bail out because the good happened and then the bad happened. Let me just tell you what that is. That's called life. And some of you have faced a whole lot of life in a short amount of time lately. In the grand scheme of things, I have heard so many reports of different ones, and Christine's heard different reports. And we've got, believe me, we've got our own story, our own reports back of difficulties, of pain, of like just having to tarry and wait and asking God, how long, God? Have you ever asked God that? How long? How much? Well, I just gave you his answer back to Job. Where were you? It's not the funnest thing to hear back, but it will bring you into perspective. And when you get the right perspective, you won't have to question things as much. You will shift from questioning to trusting. Amen? Okay. Christine said this morning. You're not defeated. You're just depleted. That's for somebody. You're not defeated. You're just depleted. That's a hard place to push through. Now, let me wrap this thing together. John chapter 5 and verse 24. says this. Most assuredly, this is Jesus speaking. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. But has passed from death unto life. He who believes in me shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life. Now, this is the answer for everything that I put out on that little video clip. And this is the why. And this is why I'm preaching to you right now. Because something is about to happen in the natural. And God, who releases it all, if he releases it in the natural, I don't want to miss it on the spiritual realm. I don't want to miss it. And to me, it's too big. And it's particularly, as we were praying Wednesday night, I had a question that came to my mind, and I looked it up, and it just, as soon as I saw the answer, I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And God started downloading stuff into me and showing me things. And here's what it is. Why have you been talking about seasons, Pastor John? And why have you given us these scriptures? And why have you had us repeat the word season over and over? And according to what the word says, you've been making a point to say, God started the seasons. It is his light who started the seasons. And according to even science believes that seasons are controlled by light. So we've established that, and the seasons are controlled by God. And God said, I made it all. It's all mine. And those that witnessed God and his power had to come back with the report that God is the one who changes the times and the seasons. So why am I saying that? There has to be a starting time of things. And in our worldview of things, we have four seasons: winter, summer, spring, and fall. And we are at the tail end of winter right now. And that will be followed by what? Spring. Spring. Winter, in all of plant life, and in songs, and in definition, has to do with death. Right? Am I just making something up here? Spring has to do with life. Brand new life. And these things are on a cycle, and they happen. And Solomon says this: what has been will be. And what will be has already been. So we know that winter is coming to an end, and spring is right upon us. And the Bible says that you have already passed as a believer, as we who believe. Say that. Say, we who believe. Let's just get everybody included in it right now. We who believe have already passed from death unto life. Just from the very fact that we believe in the one who created it all. Do you see that? Something in the natural will happen that we can't afford to miss in the spiritual. It is God who changes the times and the seasons. While we are gathered and meeting right now in his name, It is on His agenda to change the natural seasons. I am asking Him to change the spiritual season as well. And as timely a thing as I have probably ever been a part of, right now, in just a few minutes, when this clock hits 11:33 a.m., March the 20th, 2022, on a Sunday morning, Eastern Standard Time, as people are gathering to worship the Lord, whether we recognize it or fail to recognize it, at precisely 11:33, all of the scientific world will recognize the official change of the season from winter to spring. We cannot afford to miss out on such an occasion, because this is on God's agenda. And when we find out something is on God's agenda, I'm going to put my agenda to the side and get in on what is His agenda. Amen. So my prayer is against heaviness, stress, and enemy's attempt to leave us overwhelmed to the point of hopelessness. Like Christine said, we're not defeated, we're just depleted. We are coming into alignment of God's timing and His agenda, and we are agreeing that breakthrough begins today, both in the natural and in the spiritual as well. And I claim it's a new season, because it is. Because it is. It's a new season in the natural, and it's getting ready to be a new season in the spirit, and I'm walking into it. I'm walking into it. You're walking into it too. And I'm just going to, we're going to take time this morning. And I'm believing that, you know, as it goes 99 point something percent of the time, our worship team leads you into worship. So they have to get their worshiping done so that they can worship and lead you in worship. But I'm asking every one of them to come down to the front. I want you guys, we've already talked about that, I just want you guys to come. And I'm asking those that have been praying on Wednesday nights, I'm going to ask you to come in front of them and begin praying.